Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Body and the Beast podcast. Coming straight into your ears for the next few hours are your awesome hosts, Dan Meredith and Jamie Alderton.
Howdy, folks, and welcome to another episode of The Body and the Beast. I am your body, Jamie Alderton.
And I am your beast, Dan Meredith. How are you, Mr. Jamie?
I am feeling good. Mr. Meredith, how are you?
I am also good, through a little bit more resistance, which was lovely. If you listen to the last podcast, you know, both me and Jay are pushing forward for some to bring people together in March and April, respectively, for Jay's and my event. And it's just, yeah, it's been really good. It's been a good week since then. Had some lovely messages. Thank you for those people that have signed up off the back of the last podcast. So appreciate that. And obviously, if you still want to join us, you still can, I think, just about now by the time this goes out. So yeah, thank you for that. But it's been a good week. And you know, me and Jay had a nice chat after the last podcast, setting the worlds to rights, which is often really helpful. And another thing that we, you know, would have been useful to have had to last, which is good to know, is just actually finding someone you can talk to who's been through something similar. So both me and Jay had gone through periods of resistance in our careers and our lives, and just having someone who's been through similar or can identify and understand what you're going through is really useful. But we're not going to be talking about that today. What are we going to be talking about?
Mental health, Mr. Meredith. We're going to be talking about mental health.
Sorry, I'm not laughing at the topic, but obviously me and Jay record this on video so we can see each other. He just stared at me down the camera and just went, mental health. And I'm like, okay. Do we need to pause the podcast and have a conversation? Are you good?
Yeah, there was a report that came out this week, which they produce every year, and it's basically called The Mental State of the World in and the date. And this one, of course, is the mental state of the world in 2023. And it has pretty much every single country in the world. And I believe they produced it from how many people? I think it was something like 700,000 people over 16 continents, something like that. It's a big, big thing. And then they produce, you know, a mental well-being dimensions across countries, and the UK is the second to the bottom. So we are classed as distressed and struggling as a nation in comparison to everybody else. And the top one is the happiest people in the best mental health state is the Dominican Republic. So
delightful.
Fascinating. And I really delved deep into how they calculate this. And they have this, essentially this test called, I think it's called an MHQ test. And it's based on six things. Okay. And what I thought would be good to do, firstly, it is really, really shocked me that we are so low in the world when it comes to stress and distress. And of course, this is what I do as a job. I help people improve their, reduce stress, improve their well-being, and focus on becoming healthier, happier, fitter, and stronger. So I kind of feel a bit of a responsibility to help change this. And that gives me a big mission and drive to go, look, this is not acceptable, because everything within this can be changed. And it's all about getting through to people. So what I thought I would do is go through all the six measurements of what, of course, we scored incredibly low on every single one, and maybe each of us give a tip on what somebody could do to help, you know, improve that score, shall we say.
Sounds good to me, man. Let's do it.
So the first one, Mr. Meredith, is mood and outlook. And what they class that as is your ability to manage and regulate your emotions effectively, and to have a constructive or optimistic outlook for the future. What are some advice that you could give somebody to improve their mood and outlook?
Do you know what? It's because I imagine we're probably going to cross over on a few of these different ones.
Yeah.
But I've heard this phrase online before, because I call it toxic positivity, I think it was. And I kind of only want to hear anything someone described as toxic, I'm like, oh, fuck off. You're just picking up on a soundbite. Not everything is toxic. But I did get it. And that's the, but I did get parts of it, which is the whole being positive for positive sake. I'm a big fan of realism. So, okay, like, sometimes, you can say everything's going to be fine, everything's going to be awesome, life is great, I'm alive, all this kind of stuff. But, if bills are mounting up, you feel like shit, your kid's ill, your relationship's up down the shitter, broken your leg, in my case, or whatever it may be, it's very hard to be positive. So I'm a big fan of being a realist, as in, okay, this is my situation now. But the whole positive thinking thing is, we've spoken about this before, is taking stock of where you are relatively to where you have been or where you could be. So for me, to improve my mood, it's like if I find myself, slipping or getting a bit down or feeling a bit flat, is, and again, we've definitely spoken about this before, is our own versions of some form of gratitude. So I will just say, right, so I'm not maybe necessarily where I want to be, or this is wrong, or this is not fantastic. And that's the realist side of me. So this is the data. This is what I have. This is what I'm experiencing and feeling and seeing right now. Cool, that's data. So these are things that I can also change, so I can improve those. But then I'll shift on to making sure I'm looking what I do have and what I am grateful for, and the things that honestly make me feel good and very grateful for where I am, right now. One of the things, and I really hope this lands in the right way, because it's the sort of thing that, you might be taking the wrong way. So for where I live, in the city, I often encounter, quite a few homeless people that I sort of see on my walks and my travels. And I always carry, I have a little bundle of £5 notes on me. It's just something I do, okay? And if I see someone, I'll always make sure, to give them some money, have a conversation, ask if they need food. Because that helps them out. But also, it makes me feel very grateful for all I have and what a home, I'm dry, I have nice things, and I'm not using anyone else to make myself feel good. But that helps my, helps me stay humble and grateful as well. And it also just helped my mood. So today, case in point, a lady called Debbie, who I see, always chatted to her. She really loves the conversation. She's just got a flat. I went to see her to know where she is, got some lunch, gave her some money, and just had 10 minutes with her, having a conversation. So that, to me, lifted my mood. So you've got to find your own versions to do it, but that kind of gratitude element is a big part for me when my mood starts to slip.
There's a few things that come to mind with this. If you want to get, you first have to give, and I think that's a very important thing, that contribution is one of the most selfless, selfish things that you can do. And when you are feeling, bad, make others feel good. And it's a simple, it's a simple hack that fucking works. And I can tell you fucking works, because 2 weeks ago, I had 900 people through my 5-day challenge. And day three was, you had to do a random act of kindness. And how the feedback that I got from the check-ins and from the group and from everyone was like, this is the best I've felt in a long time. And it's bonkers, because everyone's like, oh, should I do a cold shower? Should I go to the gym? And the answer is probably yes, but doesn't cross people's mind that they should do something for others if they want to make themselves feel better. And it's a very simple.
Yeah, and it is simple. It's very simple. And it can be as simple as thanking someone, paying someone a compliment, leaving someone a nice review on something, product or a service you got. Like, it's really quite simple to make someone's day. Just give a shit about someone else. It takes you out of your own head as well for a moment. You can help them with their problems. You can make them feel good. And it also makes you feel good as well. So yeah, that's a real simple daily tip you can do. Pay someone a compliment, act of service, do something to someone, offer someone some help. I'll be super honest with you, mate. When it happens to me, I find it quite hard to accept. I had a couple of people offer to help me with something recently. Like, no, I've got this, I'm fine. And I'm like, one of them is actually my partner. And she sort of said, look, I could actually do this for you. And that would really help. And I was like, okay then. And I'm so used to not accepting help that I actually rejected it initially, because I'm like, gone through years of just basically being on my own and very independent. Whereas actually it feels good to let other people help you as well. So, again, sometimes you have to persuade people a little bit to do something, but it does feel good to both help and let others help you if you need it, because it makes them feel good. Everyone wins.
100%. So the next one is drive and motivation. And what they class with this is your ability to work towards achieving your desired goals and to initiate persevere and complete activities in your daily life? What knowledge, one tip could you give to help people with their drive and motivation?
I mean, first of all, is having a fucking goal towards something. Like, it wasn't my content, but just, you know, going to the gym is really good. Obviously, me and Jay both love our training and stuff because you get lots of, you know, micro wins per week. You might get a PB on this, you might run a little bit faster there, you might be a bit more flexible on this or something. But having something you're working towards, having something you want to be better at, be, you know, more successful at, be faster at, be leaner at, whatever. I don't fucking know what it can be. It can be, this is the thing, it's down to you. But I know when I have goals, as in goals that challenge me, so not break me, they're not insurmountable, they're not impossible, they challenge me because I need to be challenged, because I will know by pushing myself forward for those goals, I'll actually, even if I don't hit it, and again, I'm not trying to allow myself to not hit it, but even if I don't hit it, and if I've reached for a slightly harder or more challenging goal, I'll have learned more lessons, I'll have grown more, more will have happened by pushing myself to go forward for it. So for me, I will say actually having a goal, having it written down, breaking that down into steps. I'm also a big fan of like social accountability, letting people know you're going to do this, telling a loved one or a friend or a partner that you're going to do this thing. You know, having a line in the sand where you have to do it is really, really key. You know, I've done it with, you know, various, you know, fitness exercises and business things. You know, we've both got books coming out. We've got deadlines. We have to have things into publishers by certain, or it doesn't happen. You know, we've got events going on. Like we've got to get it arranged because people are turning up. There's no excuse. So I will say having a goal and a deadline, the combination of the two, are really good. Really helps focus the mind. And honestly, it's very easy. We said this in the last podcast. You know, most humans want homeostasis. We want shit to stay the same, and that's fine. Periods of just things steady is fine. That's good. But also, you need to strive for things and push for things. And all I know is when I have pushed myself towards a goal, trying to achieve something else, it tends to bleed into other parts of my life. I become more disciplined, I become more focused, I become more structured when I've got this goal to work on. So that's my advice on that one, is that goal plus deadline combo.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that sprung to mind was, you know, when you said the homeostasis, and homeostasis is that people want to be regulated and normal. But regulated and normal in the UK is fucking depressed by this study.
Yeah.
So, you know, in order to get out of this, and this is, I had a little bit of a rant this morning about nutrition and why these extreme ideologies in nutrition have firstly get so many views and get so much traction. And the reason being is that people need to hear their advice, because a lot of people have this, a lot of people hear this, oh, you know, just balance things out. You know, just have an 80-20 principle with your nutrition. You know, if you eat 80% of your nutrition, healthy, good, you can have a little bit of shit. And it's just like, yeah, but these people at the moment who are really struggling don't want to hear that. They want to hear, sort your fucking life out. Stop eating shit. You're not allowed to eat shit anymore at all. All you're allowed to eat is fucking fruit, vegetables, and fucking beef. That's it. Stop being a dick. And that extreme mentality is a wake-up call to people going, yeah, I am being a dick. I'm trying to balance, and I can't fucking balance. I'm wobbly as fuck. And if you want drive and motivation, you sometimes need to set something that's like, holy fucking shit, and then go and tell the world about it, to say, no, if I don't do this, look at me as the biggest dickhead ever. And that pressure and that stress to do the thing that's actually going to change your life might just be the thing that you need to do. Right, and it's not, I want to go to the gym. It's like, I want to squat 200 kilos in fucking 12 weeks. And if I don't, then, you know, and it's just setting this back. And I've done it time and time again. It's amazing when I used to get ready for a bodybuilding competition where I had to be the best shape of my life, and I had to run backwards for 24 fucking hours, you know, or, you know,
or box jump fucking box Everest. And I'm just gonna interrupt you ever so slightly on this rant now, because like, me and Jay have been friends for a long fucking time, right? Now, obviously, I've had a few surgeries in the, I think I broke my leg and had my ankle and leg reconstructed. I've had my hip replaced. I don't know if that was when we were recording. It was before we started recording again. But my right leg is not what you'd call fully human, okay? and I was at boxing the other day, and I put it on, I think it's like 75 centimeters, which, and my boxing coach just said, do you want to try it? And typical fucking guy, like, yeah, I want it. And I did it, and I did this box jump, and I was really, I did more than one. I did it quite a few times. I was really proud. I was surprised myself. I was like, fucking hell, I'm up here. And then out the blue, Jamie, I just see, and me and Jay send each other some absolute fucking nonsense. I see video come through, so I call, click on it, and this motherfucker sets up exactly the same height box, looks at it, turns around, and then jumps backward onto the box. No copy, no text with it, just a video of him being nothing. Just literally on a casual, I think, Wednesday afternoon workout with his wife, Anna, just middle of it, just, oh, there's a box, I'll just do this. So with love and respect, fuck you for that.
But, you know, if you have been trying to set goals and you haven't achieved the things, it might be because you're not putting enough pressure on yourself to do this. It might be that you're not setting enough consequences to do it. You know, did I know I was going to box jump Mount Everest? I don't know. Like, I can only prepare as much as I can. Did the pain of not wanting to hand over a £25,000 check to life-limiting children maybe make me want to make sure that I fucking do it? You're damn right it did.
Yeah.
Sometimes putting enough pressure on you actually makes you achieve amazing things and gives you this amazing drive and motivation that you're searching for, because you have put yourself in a situation where the only way out of it is fucking doing it. And I think it's so important. Yeah. So moving on to number three, Mr. Reddit, is cognition. And what they put down as cognition is your ability to perform basic cognitive functions, make sense of complex sets of events and situations, and display a longer-term perspective in your thoughts and behavior. Something that's very difficult.
I'm throwing this one back to you straight away. You're going to answer this one first, because I want to see what you say, because there's about five different things I could go with this, and on cognition, I don't want to sound like a fucking tit.
Okay, so the reality is, and you know, this is a reality, only 5% of the world are actually very self-aware, and one of the biggest problems that we have is that you only got to look on the internet, and you've only got to look at somebody having an hour-long argument with a stranger in a comment section to realize that, you know, self-awareness isn't something that is naturally a lot of people's strong points. And you know, I'm not talking down to people on this. It's taken me probably 8 years to develop my self-awareness through books, through learning and mistakes. It's not been an easy thing for me because I wasn't a natural self-aware person. But it's something, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, you know, you're either self-aware or you're not. No, you can work on this shit. And the Harvard Business Review is broken down self-awareness into four boxes. We can go through it, but basically, you know, self-awareness is based on internal and external. So you can have people who are highly internally self-aware, but really low external self-aware. So they know themselves, but they're just really, you know, and you see it with a lot of autistic people, actually, because they're really highly self-aware of what it is that they're doing, but they have no social cues to be able to project out what their actual thoughts are. But, you know, once again, you see some people who are actually absolute geniuses, but they just can't, you know, like they have no social cues. And what I find really interesting is that you get people who are low self-awareness externally and low self-awareness internally. And of course, that's the worst thing to be at. You're either a very, very naive, stubborn 40-year-old or you're a child. That is basically that box.
Yeah.
The other box is something that I realized that was. It was an introspector. An introspector is high levels of internal self-aware, but lower levels of external. And what introspectors do is that they know themselves very well, but they don't consider getting advice from other people to see if their self-awareness is actually correct. So they're like, oh, I'm doing this pattern of behavior because it's this. So then rather than actually talk to somebody about it, they change their ways because they're self-aware and they end up making the same fucking mistake because they didn't ask somebody else's advice. So, and then you have aware, which is high internal, high external. And then you have one which a lot of people are, and it's pleasers. And that is high external self-awareness, as in really aware of other people around them, but low internal self-awareness, because they are so worried about what other people think that they stop thinking for themselves. So cognition is the ability to understand self-awareness. And we all know that this is true, that arguing with a stranger on the internet, actually prioritizing others over yourself and not caring to ask for help, are three of the worst fucking things you can do to your cognition. Yet people so blatantly do it day after day after day.
Yeah. I'll just say, so I've not got much to add to that, because that's a really good answer on that one, Jay. But I will say, for me, to improve my thinking and my ability to think both creatively, laterally, conceptually, you know, using various mental models that I do day to day, is to consume content. And I generally would recommend in the form of books. So you can get great inspiration from social media posts, from blog posts and all this kind of stuff. But I find if I read good quality books, and I'm not talking, you know, sometimes it can seem like a bit of an obstacle, or maybe it's a bit too much to read a book. I mean, many of us don't have lots of time to read 200-300-400 page books, but I will always try and read at least a couple of chapters a day of a book of note that has been proven to be valuable, useful, time served, you know, basically from someone who knows their shit. So I will read interesting books from well thought out critical thinkers who are very much experts on their topic. And that helps me think differently. It helps me think better, and it helps me process things better. But basically, short version is consume higher quality information and process that information in your own time. So for me, I read things. I often sometimes take notes down off the back of it. I don't just mindlessly consume, but I set an intentional goal of reading books. And I find that if I put time aside to read, there's a reason why so many people in like our spaces bang on about reading books, because it really does make a difference. So I will say, to get better at thinking, read better books.
On to the next one now, Dan, and it's social self. Ooh. How you interact with, relate, and see yourself with respect to others.
That's a good one. Can you give me a little bit more context on that with regards to the study itself? Because there's a couple of rabbit holes I could go down on this one. So what does it mean specifically?
Well, I'd say what they've come up with this is one of the three things, and it's that people don't spend time like they used to with people and family. And I think it's due to the internet.
Got it.
I think it's due to the internet and due to just how distracted people are, that people don't value, like, especially if you look at a lot of the, you know, the countries, it seems that the people who have the highest in this are also kind of, you know, African and, you know, non-Western. It's like, it's people whose cultures are more ingrained around family. And actually, it just goes to show how much of an impact on your mental health being around other people.
Do you know what? I've got a
perfect answer to that one.
So, and this sounds like at some point in this, it's like another thinly veiled pitch for my event. But I am going to come to one of the reasons why I am putting the event on. At, you know, even with the amount of stress it does cause to do such things. But I found myself doing well business-wise, you know, everything was fantastic. I was doing a good job, you know, everything was awesome. But I found myself, this is years ago, feeling quite isolated, quite flat. I don't know if depressed is the right word, but not at my best. How about that? I'll say. And I realized, so I'm a big fan of the self audit. I like reviewing myself. Again, not a pitch, but I have a planner that I use. It's my own one. It's called the I Get Shit Done Planner. There's a list of areas in your life. So it's got business, finance, network, but it's also got relationships, friendships, connections, so on and stuff like that. And I did my own self audit, and I realized I was scoring quite low for the friendships and the connection side of things. So I decided to make a proactive plan and actually factor it into my diary. So I think I've mentioned this in a previous one. I've got a load of my old school friends together. My dad and a few when he was still with us, and a few of my friends' dads used to play badminton together. So we're all at the similar sort of age now when they started doing it when we were kids. So we got called the Badminton Boys, just a group of five of us who all know each other. We see each other now, just because they've got kids and stuff, twice a month, non-negotiable. They're coming around tonight. Now, I could have, hand on heart, I really could have done with tonight for work. I could have done with that time to sit down and grind through some stuff. But I also know that the time with the boys energizes me, makes me feel good. And from a mental health perspective, having that sort of social interaction, when honestly, all we're going to do is order burgers and watch Alan Partridge. That's what we do. We do the same fucking thing every time we see each other. It's great. I do the same thing with my mum and sister. I make sure I see them every Tuesday after my coaching day. So all my one-to-one clients, the drive to mum's is like, helps my brain just disconnect. When I get there, I'm just present. I go for dinner, spend some time, play some games. And equally, you know, obviously a newer addition, you know, I make sure, you know, me and my partner have time to speak and, you know, spend time together, and we try and always get our work done so that when we are together, we are conscious and present, and we're not looking at our phones, we're not doing stuff. So those things have all made me very fucking happy. So even when, you know, maybe life's a bit stressful, I'm not feeling too great, or shit just goes wrong as it does, having those people around me is incredibly important. I will say, for anyone listening who doesn't have these people around them, make an effort to either find them or speak to people and try and get these meetups and connections going on consistently, because most people are quite, you know, old friends and acquaintances are quite happy to spend time with you, but you often have to be the one to reach out to them to say, hey, can we hang out? Can we do something? Can we connect? That's a, yeah, it's honestly, from a mental health perspective, it's made a huge difference to my mental health. So even when things are less than ideal, the fact that I see my mum and sister, my partner, my boys, and my other friends. I've also got, you know, like yourself, Jay's a really good friend. I've got other friends like Jay who've known for ages. I will have a day once a month where I'll go and see one of my, what I call long distance friends. I'll make an effort to go and see them. Really fucking important, and makes a massive difference to your mental health.
My advice on this is, firstly, understanding that social media isn't fucking
yeah,
social.
No shit.
That's one of the most important things. And, you know, I have just instantly thought about this, that a lot of my social situations kill two birds with one stone. So, for example, I have a catch up every Thursday with a friend where we have breakfast. So it's like, cool. Not only do we catch up, but I get a nice breakfast cooked for me. So it's 1 week.
That's
it's
nice.
One day a week where I don't have to cook or make my breakfast. So once again, it's like double the wins there. Jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. I go, you know, 3-4 times a week, and I'm forced to interact with people because I can't have my phone. I can't be distracted, and I'm fully focused on the people around me. Kill two birds with one stone. I get to catch mm-hmm. up with people, have a chat, and I get to learn a skill and get better at something. We, of course, are... part of a business mentorship, which, you know, we catch up kind of once a month mm-hmm. in person, and kills two birds with one stone. I get to catch up with, like yourself, I get to catch up with other people that are very successful. And once again, we get to spend some time with each other as well. So I get to grow my business and catch up with my friends at the same time. So it's kind of a win-win situation, which ticks multiple boxes. So once again, think about your own social circle and how you can, you know, do that, because this year has probably been the most kind of social. If I think about jiu-jitsu, I think about, you know, I'm a member of a cold water sea dip club now, which we do, you know, it's just guys yeah. only. Every Sunday we go for a dip and nice. A coffee. Absolutely fantastic. So there's that, jiu-jitsu, of course, and the business stuff, and of course my own yeah. events as well, which I literally have to put a gun to someone's head.
But most people, like most people, really are quite open to connecting and doing stuff. You sometimes have to be that person, like with Jay's event and with my event, you have to be the person that creates stuff and arranges stuff to curate it and bring others along. But don't be afraid to reach out to someone. If you're like an old friend, someone you haven't spoke to. I caught up with one of my old mates from rugby. We don't know, well, we kind of do now, but we didn't know why we stopped talking. It was like 7-8 years ago. We just kind of stopped, and I thought it was when I was drinking. I might have said or done something, but I just reached out and just said, look, mate, I miss you. It's been too long. You have to be coming down to the West Country We met up and it was like nothing had changed. So don't be afraid to reach out, reconnect with people. We're all busy. We've all got shit to do. But the social side of being a human being is important. And yes, you know, I've made some amazing friends and connections due to social media, but nothing beats, you know, spending time with people in person. We're designed to be around one another.
Yeah, 100%. So number five on my list is mind-body connection. What they've put there as a description is the regulation of the balance between your mind and your body. And I think this is a super important relationship that you need to learn to have between both of them, because they both affect each other.
In what way from your perspective, bud? Because I've got my take on this.
Okay, so a perfect example is that a couple of days ago, I went to bed a bit later and I went to jiu-jitsu and then went to the gym. And literally did about three sets and I was pretty much done. And, you know, it's just this kind of mindset of going, yep, Jay, you know, you've got Guinness World Records in endurance lifting and this, that, and the other. You can push through whatever. And it's like, but just because you can doesn't mean that you should. And, you know, there are things today and the next few days which involve, you know, your undivided mental attention, which potentially could be affected if you carry on pushing. So maybe just take this as a signal to chill out a little bit. And another thing as well is that people, especially like business owners and entrepreneurs, they don't listen to their body. And then they just focus on, I'm too busy to exercise. I'm too busy to stretch. I'm too busy to this. And a quote from Robin Sharma, which I love, is if you don't make time for, you know, fitness, then you'll have to make time for illness.
That's very good.
And that's having a really shit relationship between your body and mind, and maybe just your mind convincing you and your body then just reminding
you. And I'll give it from the mind perspective then. So obviously, you know, me and Jay both pushing quite hard, working quite hard at the moment on a few different projects that we've got. I'm sure you, listener, are working through something. If you're listening to this podcast, you're probably pushing yourself in some degree or some direction. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be here. So understanding as well, obviously, as Jay said, you know, listening to your body and obviously making time to move and do things, but you also have to listen to your mind as well. So sometimes it is right to throttle things back on the trip, but equally, your brain needs rest as well. So I am completely open to if you are feeling, I call it like soupy. It's like your thoughts aren't clear. You feel a bit muddled. You kind of maybe get your words confused. You're not really, you just feel like full of stuff. Is taking some time to disconnect yourself and literally disconnect yourself from the outside world. So like social media, responsibilities if you can. Get away from what it is you need to do and just allow your mind to relax, okay? I find if I'm in a heightened state, so if I'm triggered, and I'm not meaning that in a kind of, oh no, you've posted something offensive, just my body is like fight or flight, ready to go constantly this, that, the other. I don't make good decisions and it can affect my body as well because I don't think as well, which then means my brain is often active later in the day, which then affects my sleep and it's this vicious cycle. Okay, so again, as much as you gotta, you know, move your body and use your body, your brain, use it. You know, we talk about cognitive function on an earlier one, but also give it a rest every now and then. Let it have some downtime. Let it watch the odd bit of naff telly or go sit in nature or go sit in a spa or whatever you need to do. But don't forget to give your brain a rest as well because your brain's going to affect your body. It's all connected.
Yeah. A power cycle. When you've got a piece of technology that keeps fucking up, what do you do?
Oh, I love it.
And you turn it
off. Love it, mate.
So sometimes our brain needs a power cycle. You're like, yeah, this thing's fucked. We're going to have to turn it off a little
bit. This thing's fucked. I love it.
And sometimes it's worth saying it. Just again, saying to people, sorry, I'm fucked. I'm going to switch off and come back, you know, switch it back on. I'll be back in a few hours or so. So yeah, super important. The final one, Mr. Meredith, is adaptability and resilience. And what they've put here is your ability to shift your behavior and outlook in response to changing circumstances and cope with the challenges and setbacks that you encounter. What are some of your pieces of advice to help with
that? Do you know what? I believe it was Tom Hanks. I don't know if it was him leading. I think he was leading it and he had I think he had Shia LaBeouf. There's a few other people. So he was basically talking to, I don't know if you know the one I'm talking about, but he basically just said, this too shall pass. And he keeps going on about it. But now, again, a little bit of a soundbite, might be quite glib, but he was saying things like, oh, you know, you've won an Oscar, this too shall pass. Your relationship has failed, this too shall pass. You know, you're earning more money than you've ever earned, ever, this too shall pass. And he's doing both positive and negative things. And he wasn't saying those ones. I'm just pulling them out for examples from my own thoughts. But good times and bad, it will pass. It will go. So if you're in the good times, and me and Jay have both spoken about this, and we actually had a chat, it's like if we wished there are times where we were in the good times and the best times, and we wished we'd known, that's not a fucking word, wished we had known that particular time was a good time. It was just a time whilst we were in it. And we look back and we're like, fuck, that was actually some of the best periods of, you know, growth and success and freedom and fun and whatever. But it passed. But equally, all the bad shit that I've gone through has passed. So whether or not you like it, this will pass. This too shall pass. Good times and bad times. And I put the two together because it's just life. It's just an experience. It doesn't mean I'm good, bad, worse, whatever. But this too shall pass is just a really simple little phrase that helps me when times are tough. So when I'm in the middle of it, it fucking sucks, like it does for all of us. But I know one day it won't suck. This too shall pass. And it's just a really simple little phrase. Ever since I've watched that video, I really love it. It's just something I keep at the back of the mind. And it also keeps me quite grounded. You know, if I absolutely smash a launch or have a like hyper successful, you know, month or year or whatever, doesn't matter what it is, then I know that this too shall pass. There'll be times where I have, you know, valleys to my peaks. There'll be times where things aren't going right and things aren't going to plan. But that too shall pass too. And then I'll get another peak at some point in the future as long as I keep going. So my advice on that is just remember, this too shall pass.
Mine is a simple thing you can say to yourself. Plot twist.
Ah!
And it's a great one.
I love that one. You said that to me the other week. I loved it.
And it's like, if everything goes crumbling, sometimes, honestly, I've said it to myself and it makes me laugh so much because it just takes me out of this game that I'm currently in. Yeah. You're like, whoop, plot twist. You're like, oh. And it's quite funny because you're like, oh, well, you know, here's chapter two. Let's go. And
it's a really good one.
And it's really interesting. If you ever look at The Hero's Journey, mm-hmm. By Joseph Campbell, and you look at any film, okay, the hero always has to go through something shit.
Yep.
Or something bad happens before he saves or wins the day, or everyone lives happily ever after. So, you know, if you're looking at your life as a movie, mm-hmm. and you know that, you know, and in the end, everybody lives happily ever after, you're going to get to this stage where, you know, the worst is going to happen. Something's going to test you. Something's going to not be the thing that you wanted. And that's going to be the little chapter and the twist in the tale, where that's actually going to like make you,
yeah.
not break you, make you, if you allow it to. And every, you know, it's a cheesy quote, but it's only in darkness that you see stars. Ooh. And actually a lot of people need to like kind of hit rock bottom, you know, go to complete darkness to see a fucking way out. Because some of the times, and I think one of the worst things when it comes to things, like especially these days, is that people have too many options.
Yeah.
They have too many choices, and because they've got too many choices, they don't make any, and they stay in this like they just stay in this middle bit.
Yeah,
you know, this middle bit, and they're comfortable being in this middle. They've got all these options and choices, but you know, it's not painful enough.
Just stay here.
Yeah, it's just stay here, and that's the worst place to be. It's the worst fucking place to be because it's the most miserable place because you're not going anywhere. You're going somewhere, and it's not, you know, it's painful, but it's just. It's not painful enough. And sometimes, mm-hmm. yeah, when it gets to a level of pain and you're like, fuck, then, and only then sometimes you're like, right, let's go that way.
Yeah.
That's the way to go. So when you allow yourself to reframe this is the whole art of resilience and adaptability. Mm-hmm. It's just being able to be presented with the worst thing that can happen. And understand that, you know, like for myself, you know, the worst thing happens, I'm 39 and I'm like, fuck, okay, yes, this is shit right now, but I'm halfway through the game.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got another 40 odd years to play this thing. You know, let's figure this out. And having just this mindset of going, you know, one day, and one, I think this is a good one as well. One day we'll look back at this and laugh.
Yeah.
And it's another beautiful one. And these are all kind of things you can say to yourself and mental models, because, you know, all of my successful things have come from the shittest things.
Yeah. I wish it fucking
get in.
I'm fucking, do you know what? No. I'm so bored of lessons. I'm fucking done with lessons. I really am. I'm like, can I have no more lessons? I feel like I've learned everything. I'm at fucking PhD level now. Fuck off. Sorry.
Yeah. But that's it, you know, and it really, really is. It's just, you know, keep turning up, keep showing up, learn the lessons from it, and eventually
we go again.
It will happen.
And you know, one of my mum's ones, this is my mum used to say this to me, and I don't know why I don't even know why we started saying it. I think after all the stress and trauma of, you know, losing dad and the pandemic and getting run over and all the sort of things that, you know, I had, and mum, you know, had some health issues herself. We just, as a family, we just have been through a lot. Okay. And my little sister, bless her, you know, she's constantly getting, you know, health things and issues, and she, you know, she keeps going, and we just came up with this little two-word phrase that we say to each other, which is we move. And that's it. So staying where we are, sitting in, you know, the sadness, like me and mum try and make a joke. We make light of everything. We've always got through shit times through humor. And I know you did sort of back in your military days and stuff as well. Like, humor is a really helpful tool to get through it. But just that little two word, we move, you know, if we stay still, nothing good happens. You know, it's just going to get worse. Okay. It's definitely not going to get better, but we move. So we do something. We do something about it. We take action. We make calls. We do things. We move. And that's another little tip that you just reminded me of there on that little slight rantette we went on.
Love it, Dan. I think that's a perfect way to end this incredible episode.
It's a good one.
Ladies and gents, we might be second to the bottom in the country, okay, in a grand population. But I really hope that you can have a look at some of these tips. Take a couple of them away and just help us get this score up a little bit,
yeah,
because it's all within your responsibility and your, what's the word? I was going to say, you know, it's all in within your responsibility and control to change. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's definitely worth it.
Beautiful.
100%. Ladies and gents, I really hope you enjoyed this episode of The Body and the Beast. If you found the sound to be a little bit weird, my end, I do apologize, because I realize I hadn't plugged my mic.
Especially after last episode, where you've given me shit before for my setup. And I'm like, yes, I've done it. It's perfect.
I know. But if it sounds perfectly cool, it's because I'm a genius.
Yeah. And modest.
sound editing, and it's been absolutely fine. So, ladies and gents, I really hope you enjoyed this episode of the Body and Beast podcast. I have been your body, Jamie Middleton.
And I've been your beast, Dan Meredith. Take care.